Hey guys, this is Ben from Watch Where Crap Ends, and before we start the show, I just want to give an update about our live shows that are coming up. We have one on September 2nd, which we'll talk about on the main show. Tickets just went on sale, and we are doing one in New York City, and it's actually already sold out. The tickets went on sale around 2 p.m. Pacific yesterday, aka Thursday, and by Friday at 7 a.m., it was already sold out. That's a 300-seat venue, so we anticipate that our show in September may sell out quickly too. So if that's something that you're interested in going to, and obvi it should be, please go and buy your tickets now. It's on Ticketmaster. We don't want anyone to feel like they were left out. We don't want anyone to say, oh, I was thinking about getting it and now it's sold out and I'm bummed. Just go get it now. Anyway, even if you don't get it, please enjoy the show. We love you.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Is what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender, and joining me is a man who loves Tito's and will not talk about his ex-husband, but will make a scene at a restaurant. It's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, baby.
Hey, what's going on this fine Thursday as we are about to embark on some Real Housewives of New York? Nothing's going on? Okay, great. So,
tell me what's... I thought you just said it's going on. When you do the intros, I'm like, I'm finishing a text.
I was like, what's going on?
I'm finishing up a text so I can close my iMessage app and concentrate on the show, okay,
so,
Ben? Sometimes it's not about you, Ben, hey?
You know what, Ronnie? Don't. Just don't. Just don't, Ronnie. Just
have
don't.
Some respect, Ben, okay?
You know what? I'm a mother. I'm mothering, and you're not. Just don't. Just
I have to give
don't.
Half of my businesses to all of my children.
You know what?
My husband.
You,
hey,
you ripped
Dad.
Out my arm. You ripped out my femur. You ripped out my ankle. You ripped out my other arm. My other
you
leg.
You want
my
nose?
Hip, okay.
You want my nose too? Rip off my nose. Okay. Take everything, but not my extensions. Okay. Because those are my business, and you're gonna respect my business. Hey, Benini.
For those of you who are just joining us here, we are a Bravo podcast, and today we're going to be talking about Real Housewives of New York. But of course, we can't start talking about it before shilling our LA show, which we are going to annoy you to death about, but for good reason, because speaking of New York, we are recapping Scary Island on our LA show, September 2nd, downtown Los Angeles, Terragram Ballroom. Get the tickets. We're already like over a third of the way sold out, and we're still 2 months away. So don't wait. Don't wait to the last minute and then let it sell out, and then you're gonna have to like message us, be like, are there any tickets that you have? Just get it now. We're gonna try to get some special guests. We're gonna try to do some fun like events around it, so it's more than just even the show. It's a full Crappens experience. So go to watchourcrappens.com. There are links to the Ticketmaster link there, and it's going to just be glorious.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing, okay? And if you're thinking about not coming to LA, or if you're thinking about if you're in LA and not coming to the show, just don't, just don't, Bethany, don't.
This episode is insane.
This episode, as they would have said in the 80s, is insane in the membrane. Okay, guys, there. Now, don't say I'm not urban.
Yeah, although that's more of a 90s thing, Cypress Hill.
Girl, so, when you after you pass 40, you'll see one day. After you pass 40, it's all in the 80s. Like, that's every memory I just say in the 80s.
You know, everything is just perpetually 80s, no matter what. Naughty by nature.
Everything happened that same time you fell in love with Amy Grant. You know what I mean? Once you're old.
Also, sort of more of a 90s reference. Although, is to be it? Fair, well...
She was Christian in the 80s.
She was Christian in the 80s. That's why it says sort of a 90s reference, because her big mainstream, you know, her Heart in Motion album came out in like 91 or something like that.
We call that the Betrayal album, okay? That's called Amy Grant the Judas Tour, when she started singing about love and then like stole someone's husband.
I call that the Ben Mandelker starts to get in touch with his sexuality album.
Oh God.
As in first inklings that he may be gay. Is that his love for the Heart in Motion album? Just kidding. It was actually when he bought the Mariah Carey CD and hid it in his closet.
Yeah, the Christian, she was out for a long time before that, okay? And I still remember her famous song, Bearing the Cross. Just kidding. It wasn't a song. I don't even know why I said that.
I still remember Amy Grant's seminal song, I'm a Super Christian. Yes. No, actually, truly, Amy Grant first crept her way into my heart with her duet with Peter Cetera, Next Time I Fall in Love, which to this day remains one of my favorite songs.
That's Amy Grant?
Next time I fall. Yes.
In love.
I don't
know. It will be with you.
Next time I fall in love.
You know, she has a song called Abide By Me and also a song called Abide With Me. Okay, wow. I see how she stretched the repertoire.
She knows her positions. She lost me though ultimately when she's with that, what was that one song about, like the house of, it's like this is the song about the house. Anyway, we'll let one of our listeners.
I really don't know. It was the 80s, man. I don't know. But I'm looking at an Amy Grant song list now, and I really love that she has so many Christian songs could be regular songs, and sometimes it's hard to tell. Like driving with my sister this week, I'm like, is this Christian rock?
Yeah.
She said, I'm not sure, because the kids were playing it. So of course it is, because you know they're all Christian. So it was Christian rock. But the song was like, all I need is you in my arms and my... I'm like, is this guy singing about dating Jesus? This is the weirdest song I've ever heard.
I do actually really hate those moments when you're listening to a song and you're like, wait a second. Is this Christian rock that I've been really loving? Ugh. And I'm not saying that against anti-Christian. It's just more like a lot of Christian rock is very insipid, you know?
Jars of Clay, bitch. I mean, they can make it songs.
They did have that song.
Like, for example, Amy Grant on her song list has Away in a Manger and then Baby Baby, right in order. Like, I know one's Christian and I know the other one's not, but it could be, you know? She could be, like, telling a story with her song titles, like Away in a Manger, Baby Baby, like in case we were doubting what was in the manger.
Yeah. Yeah. I once was listening to, very recently, I was listening to some generic song and my boyfriend was like, Ben, are you listening to Christian rock? I was like, no, but now you've ruined my song. I was like, it's just a very, very white song, possibly by The Fray. So I can understand the confusion. A very white, toothless song exalting love for something nondescript.
Yeah, like is Don't Run Away. Is that song Christian or is she talking about the husband she stole?
Oh, like, I was talking about the Ace of Base song.
No, don't I'm looking at an away. Amy Grant. Because we have a huge episode of New York, so of course I'm reading Amy Grant.
Yeah. Thank you to all our new listeners who've already tuned out. Thank you. I'm really glad we are selling you on our live show by going on incessantly about Amy Grant. But
okay, I'll stop now.
Every
heartbeat,
I'm done. There's Ronnie's name. Loud and clear.
No, you're not allowed to keep it going when I just close the song list.
Fine, fine. If it's good enough for you. Well, I've got nothing left to say now that we're done with Amy Grant. I mean, that was all my good material.
Now you're dead.
I mean, what else do you want from me?
You know? Guys, let's talk about sperm now.
Yeah. Listen, when it comes to this conversation, I just have to say, I will remember you.
I will remember Sonia talking about putting sperm on her face. How about that? That's what I'll remember.
I will remember Carol Radswell receiving a box for baby.
And only the dog cares. The dog baby wants the catnip.
But here's some catnip, baby. No, the other baby. Curtain baby.
Curtain baby. So it was like the show opens up with the usual mix and match of different things happening around the city. So Carol's opening up her basically her birch box for cats, her meow box. And
fit fun cat. baby cat.
Every catnip belongs to you. So she's doing that, and meanwhile Sonia and Tinsley are getting facials at the spot with Sonia's, you know, her notorious facialist, and Sonia's just paddling on.
Slutty Luan. Yeah. You tell Luan why you keep coming your pocket.
Sorry, and Sonia's just prattling on. She's like, oh, you know, Harry Dubin was my boyfriend like 30 years ago. I think I was allergic to sperm. like things I don't really need to know about.
No kidding. It's like that's how people find out they're allergic to gluten, okay? Can everybody just stop swallowing Dubin? How about that?
Listen, it doesn't mean you're allergic to Harry's sperm if you somehow feel nauseous in his presence.
Yeah, exactly. It's his plugs.
It's the way he talks.
Stop blaming his sperm.
Yeah, so then Tinsley's like, it tangles. And so she like rips this thing off her face, and the face is like, this is placenta.
As if that's somehow to make it better. Are you serious? The burn is placenta. It baby holder.
We did not get enough of this bitch gossiping, because she is the best side character on the show. I think even better than Ray. She started all those fights at the reunion from one season.
Yes. That is true. I mean, I think that they kind of just like shoved this little clip in there because she hadn't been on all season, and they needed to give some reference to her at one point, you know.
And Sonia wants the leftover placenta. That's so good.
And then we cut to Dorinda on her bed doing what appears to be an Instagram tribute to Mary Tyler Moore, and she's like, "If it weren't for," I'm sorry, I'm like going through different voices. I'm like, which voice am I supposed to be doing right now? If it wasn't for
Lucille Ball marrying Ricky Ricardo, I never would have come to the Big Apple. Because remember that episode when she and Ethel were putting apples in their mouth and they could only hold some? Hilarious!
With Mary Tyler Moore put her three girls with Bob Dylan's three boys, and they made a whole big deal. I'm going to New York. Gonna go to New York!
You remember when Mary Tyler Moore used to come into the gym and hit the jukebox until the playlist swung?
Hey, remember when Mary Tyler Moore told that boxer, you get in that ring and you fight, and he did, and Scorsese didn't win an Oscar for it?
Remember when Mary Tyler Moore was on the cheerleading team against the black girls, and you thought she was going to win, but then the black girls won because they were so much better? That's Bring It On, too. So...
Or is it Bring It On 1?
I don't bring remember. Bring It On 1. Hey.
It happened in the 80s. I don't remember.
Hey, remember when Mary Tyler Moore released that song about babies?
Was that Christian or sexual?
Also, someone wrote us on Facebook and said, you guys, would you please correct Dorinda? Because Mary Tyler Moore filmed that scene in Minnesota, and we actually have a statue of, you know, to commemorate it. And I was like, you know what, Queen? I am proud of you for being so proud of Minnesota. They, yes. You know, they're lucky to have you. We love you. Consider it corrected. And I'm sorry I called you a queen. I don't know if you're a queen, but I meant it in a good way.
Yeah.
So stand corrected. Also, how is there a statue of someone throwing up a hat in the air? Is there like a stick holding the hat up in the air?
Maybe the hat's either invisible, or maybe the hat has not actually left the hand yet. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway. Send us. I think he did send us a picture, and I still didn't look at it. But consider it corrected, and don't say that we don't like to fix things.
Yeah, we just fixed it. How about that?
Yeah, you fixed. How about that, Dorinda? You're bankrupt.
Also, clip, the makers clip, of Pop Socket.
Clip. Clip.
Also, the makers of the Pop Socket would like to thank you for the free advertising. I think we should have Watch What Crappens Pop Sockets.
What are Pop Sockets?
They're those circular things you put on the back of your phone, and you can pop them out and hold your phone with your fingers from the back. Oh. Or you can use it as a little stand. They're great. But then I discovered the love handle. So now I switch between the two. If I'm really drunk, I use the love handle because that's like a little strap on the back. And when you fall asleep drunk, you just wake up with your phone on your hand. It doesn't hit you in the face. Oh.
It's like you have a Janet Jackson glove with your cell phone then.
Yeah, for an iPhone plus Janet Jackson. Whatever.
Well, we can all dream to have one of those. But yeah, so anyway, Dorinda
was
choking.
Have we talked about Amy Grant yet? Just kidding. I'm psycho today. I don't know what's wrong with me.
We're just going to be cycling our way through some of the best hits of the 90s. So anyway, next up is Big Head Todd of the Monsters. So anyway. Or Toad the Wet Sprocket. God, I love those 90s names. So yeah, so Dorinda is choking herself off. Choking herself up. With her recollections of moving to New York with Mary Tyler Moore, and then in the middle she's like, "All right, now it's a bad take. Let's do this one again."
All right, let me work back up the tears. Anyone got a half-filled balloon they can bring in here? Anyone got a stack of change? Get method here. Come out, Richard.
I never loved Mary Tyler Moore more than when she was a cold wasp in Ordinary People. I thought that's how I'm gonna raise Hannah.
So
so next we skip over to Bethany, who's with her assistants.
Bethany, you look wonderful!
She walks in looking like where in the world is Yeti San Diego. She's just like this big, furry, like abominable snowman thing, but like a Carmen Sandiego fedora or hat.
I like that, because I put she's the McAfee scanning virus scanner guy. He's like, is there a virus on your Windows computer?
Hey! Is there a virus? Huh? You got a virus here? Okay. Like.
Bethany, your virus is beautiful!
You know what's beautiful? You know what's beautiful? No viruses. Like, honestly, like, who is Norton? Like, honestly, like, I don't even know why Norton's here. Like, any virus? Like, I literally can't. Like, if I get another virus, I'm going to be down the floor crying. Like, I'm dead. I can't. No more.
Seriously?
So Bethany starts ranting about, because someone's like, Bethany, you wrote LOL in a text message. She's like, yeah, I mean, you know what? I start to believe you shouldn't be writing LOL unless you're really laughing out loud. Like, don't do it. Like, if you're not laughing out loud, then don't write LOL. Like, just write like nothing. Write like a space. Write a hyphen, but like, don't do LOL. I'm like, this is why you're cold inside. Because the whole reason why you put LOL is not because you're actually laughing out loud, but you're trying to like express a certain type of emotion. And the fact that you're incapable or unwilling to even give an emotional crumb to someone over text shows how locked down you are.
Yeah, where's the emoji for, like, I'm mediocrely intrigued by what you were saying? Okay, I'm, like, slightly amused. Where's that one?
Hey,
where's that one?
Hey, where's the emoji for I was raised on the racetrack? Huh? Where's that?
I used to use the emoji for hugs because I thought it was someone going, no, get away from me. Get away from me. The way the little hands are there. And then I found it was for a hug. And I was like, I'm not literally hugging you right now. Like, how many people think like I'm literally hugging them right now? It's like, I don't even get it. Like, emojis need a rethink.
Like, literally, like, why do people write XOXO? Like, I don't get it. I'm like Gossip Girl or something like that. Like, I'm not saying X. I'm not saying O. I'm not saying XOXO. Like, why would people do that? Like, I don't get
it. Like, what are we playing? Tic-tac-toe?
Yeah, like if I want to give you a kisses and hug, I would like kiss you and hug you in person. Like I can't kiss and hug you through text. Like, why do people do that? Like, I don't get it. Like, tell me now. If I have to write XOXO LOL one more time or RFLT LOL, like I literally like I'll be in my walls are up crying.
How about you literally give me a rose? How about that? Like what? You're gonna send me a dolphin? What are we, SeaWorld? What is this, literal? I don't believe that. Just stop texting me things like this.
Like I literally don't get it. Like seal, like kiss from a rose. Like how does a rose kiss? It doesn't have a mouth. Like I don't get it.
So they're talking about her upcoming trip to Mexico, because we canceled it last year because my vagina ruined it. I was like, your vagina has literally ruined everything in your life. I mean, Jason, somehow your vagina is going to get stuck in the distillery machine on this trip, and it's going to ruin Skinny Girl, too. Just leave your vagina at home, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so we are learning about what the whole plan is, and essentially there's going to be this day where they go to this distillery, and they're going to go to Tequila, they're going to go to the actual town of Tequila. Is that crazy? Is there an actual town of Tequila? Yeah, Tequila. So
I want to see how the sausage gets made. I'm like, that makes me thirsty for your drink. Sausage. Delicious.
Bloody piggies.
Did you notice on her to-do list, because they have this itinerary, she's like, first, we're going to go see the Skinny Girl bus. Then we're going to go see the Skinny Girl bicycle that's going to take us to the Skinny Girl distillery in Skinny Girl, Mexico. And then on the itinerary, it says Jalisco, top chef in bold letters.
Yes. So
I'm waiting for Bethany to start letting all this stuff out, because she is very good at plugging everything, you know?
Well, it said that he's the top chef of Mexico.
Oh, but it was bold, because they also filmed in
They did
in that
last
place,
year,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think she's going to be like, oh my God, you guys watch Top Chef? This is crazy. That's where this guy was.
Look,
you
know, wait, like, what are we
going to have like Bravo plugs in there.
So we're going to have like a dinner in a cave? Is that what's going to happen? Huh? Like, you know, like grease the grate, or you're going to leave your fish stuck on the grate? Huh? Like, what's happening? Sheldon? Huh? Like, honestly, like pick up your knives, like honestly, pack up your knives and leave. Like, I can't. Like, if you leave your knives here, like when I'm supposed to clean it up, like, what am I, like Ms. Doubtfire? Like, I'm just gonna, like, clean up everyone's mess and, like be, like, your mom? Like, I can't.
So while this scene is going, and Bethany's talking to her girlfriends, who are all paid for, yeah. Luann and Ramona are at, like, sur la table, or some
and,
shit.
And I just love the way, I think that the transition was that, I think maybe Bethany mentioned Luann's name or something, and it just, like, cuts to Luann just gliding into sur la table. She sort of, like, approaches the front door, she's like, ha ha, you know? It's just, she, and, you know, whenever Luann enters a scene, they play those chimes, that, like, 60s lounge music, she's just like, oh, here I am, just walking through the front door of sur la table. I know what that means, it means on the table, because I lived in France.
See, this door does just push open. People think I was making it up in Aspen or wherever we were. That was not Aspen, okay? Powdery on top, icy on the bottom. Very dangerous.
That's Stratton, okay?
Also, you know, I like that these ladies treat the sur la table like it's a coffee store.
Yes.
They just both walk up to the espresso machine.
Yeah. Ramona's like, would you want a cappuccino? You want an espresso? Because she can just make a few, okay? And Luann's like, oh, yeah, great, I'll have that. Double tall skinny latte, please. Thank you very much.
So good. So Luann's like, so are you going to Mexico? I'm married, so I'm going just because my husband is busy, but I've left him plenty of leftover charcuterie tray. Accoutrement.
Accoutrement bonjour ce soir. Tom's cookies.
I actually know someone named Sur la table. He's the sir of tables.
His family, actually, his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather invented tables in France. That's why he's known as Sur la table.
Then, the Earl of Sandwich killed him in battle. The Flemings still find it hilarious.
Which I think is hilarious, because Fleming, I mean, what is that? A language of some sort? Actually, yes.
Well, oh my Flemish. Gosh, I'm Fleming right now.
So I think Luann is like, so, Ramona, are you going to go to the Mexico place? And she's like, well, I don't know, because I haven't been asked yet, but I think I'm going to get asked, but not yet. I don't know what's happening, okay?
And now cut to Carol and Bethany, who are now at Carol's apartment, I guess.
No, they're at Bethany's office.
Oh, they're at Bethany's office. Okay, sorry, I couldn't pay attention. And Carol's telling Bethany how she had to go to court to fight something in her building. And she's like,
I showed up to court and I was ready with point, counterpoint, one-liners. I knew what I was going to say if they brought up the emails. And then he didn't even show up. I have facts. I wanted to zing them.
Bethany's like, she's acting like a Supreme Court. It's like the People's Court. Like, what are you trying to pee on my leg right now and tell me it's raining? Like, seriously?
I actually did laugh at that when she said she's acting like it's the Supreme Court. And I also laughed because I know I would be like Carol, be like, yeah, oh my God, I went to court and I won. I totally won. They didn't even show up, but I was ready to go. I'm like, okay, Ben, settle down. You got your $20 from the deli man.
Yeah, you spent a whole day to get your $20 back.
Yeah.
And she's like,
you know, Carol's the type who, like, wants jury duty, you know? Like, she's like, please pick me. Please pick me for jury.
So then
maybe
Bethany,
we should tell Carol that our live show in New York is actually a court case. She'll show up to be a special guest.
We would like you to argue something at the Gotham Comedy Club next week.
We have Adam's landlord here, and we'd like to hash things out.
So Bethany's like, oh my God, you're like crazy today. You're like so happy. Like, did you have sex? Like, was your amuse bouched? You heard the term amuse bouched? Like when you get something stuck in your teeth from the.
That's not. I don't think that's what amuse bouche is.
I feel like Bethany.
Did she say that? Something you said, get stuck in your teeth?
Yeah. Well, she's like, well, I think maybe it was just the spirit of that came through. I don't remember. I just know that she was trying to explain it to Carol. I'm like, I'm pretty sure Carol knows what an amuse bouche is at this point in her life.
Whoa.
But I like how Bethany always explains her jokes. Like, she should never be an ironic, like, t-shirt maker, you know? Like, I can imagine Bethany making a t-shirt that says camping is intense, and it shows, you know, like intense, and then she's like, get it, because like intense is like tense, and you know, like, we when you camp, you're intense, unless you're gonna be glamping, which is you're in cabins, but honestly, like, mostly you're intense, so it's like intense. It's like an entire paragraph under the picture
and on the back of a thing like never stops.
Like literally, I can't, like, honestly, like, I'm Amuse Bouche, like I'm Amuse Your Bouche, like it's tenting, so it's like, you know, there's an Amuse Bouche camping, and there's a campfire, and there's like marshmallows and s'mores. Like, I don't even know what, like, s'mores, like, what's, yeah, I want s'mores, is that what it is? Oh, I guess it is that. Like, honestly, you know what, like who wants marshmallow? Like, marshmallows, like, gross. Like, I want, just, you know, how about this, give me a piece of chocolate, that's what I want. You're like, there's no more t-shirt left.
No kidding, she'd have to do onesies.
She has to do like a cape or a wedding gown. This is a why does your t-shirt have a train?
Oh, God. So Carol's like, did you hear from Ramona?
I just like.
And then we start the running gag of the season, which is Bethany and Ramona both talking about each other in different places at the same time. So Bethany's like,
yeah, I got a text about, you know, my ex. She's like, I'm so sorry that your ex did this.
And then Ramona's like, I sent a text and it said, I'm so sorry this is happening to you. LOL. Didn't mean to send that. Sent it to the wrong person. Oh my God. OMG. It's literally Ramona right now. Let's face it. I didn't mean it. Okay.
And she like laughing out loud. She's like, what is this? Like I'm being stalked by Jason and you're going to laugh out loud and like not even be really laughing out loud. Like, at least it's so disingenuous. Like, she can't even laugh out loud for real.
So then Luann's disgust with the whole thing is so funny. She goes, oh, the thing with Jason. Oh, stalking. Oh, so distasteful. That is just the rudest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, what are we, in the 7th arrondissement? Am I right?
Tensi's like, I don't wear stockings. I wear tights.
I'm going to a hotel.
Okay, relax. People do that.
So Ramona's like, yeah, but it's really hard for her, okay? She has a child. She has to raise it with Jason for 20 years or something. This is no way to start. She's got a poor child who's on the playground, and someone's going to eventually come up to her and tell her your mother's a pornography star from the porno movies. Then what's she going to do?
And I like the man. She's like, I don't know, just blame it on the booze, you know, blame it on the alcohol, you know what I'm saying?
My new single, I'm Married Now. I'm married now. It will be out in stores soon.
Bye. Blame it on the bitches who can't be happy for me.
Pass the talking about, I don't know, I heard it on the radio one time in the 80s and loved it.
I was watching this wonderful new show called Beat the Shazam. I don't even know what Shazam is, but I certainly beat it. I think
I'll tell you this, no whammies, am I right, girls? Can you believe it?
Would you believe it, Bethany brought a whammy. And I said, no whammies, Bethany. This is why you're not getting invited. No whammies at the wedding.
So back over at Carol's, Bethany's like, seriously? Literally? She won't break up with me. I'm like, we're broken up. And then she keeps texting me. It's like she's stalking me. I'm like, okay, you can only have one stalking storyline a season, okay?
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, it's like what Ramona sent was really nice. Like,
I mean, but it's Ramona, so you
it's
know.
Ramona, it's Ramona, but it's still like it's. I still thought it was a nice text, and I just think that like Bethany.
I
just
hope that we can really be in Mexico together, so I can hug you the Mexican way. Okay,
it's like, okay, Ramona, subtle. We get that you want to go to Mexico. Okay.
Hey, Bethany, build that wall. So then Ramona is all excited for Mexico, and she's like, well, I'm excited for Mexico, and Luann's like, ha, let's hope you get invited to Mexico, ha. That's so funny.
No one ordered a cheese bowl to the table, Ramona, because no one over there understands what chili con queso is. It's like not an East Coast thing. They call it melted cheese, whatever. But Ramona's like, you know, the good thing is she can't keep me out of Mexico because the president of Mexico is refusing to pay for a wall. Okay.
I'm sorry. I just think it's rude.
Then she's like, well, all you have to do is apologize. And she goes, when I play it back again in my head, the only thing I regret, I'm like, don't even start, because there's like 30 things that you should regret. So there's only one. And Luann stops her and she goes, well, I think you had too much Vinco Bianco or Vino. I think you had too much Vino Bianco. Just blame the booze. Everyone else does.
We'll see how that works out. But meanwhile, Bethany is...
I send a text, and if I don't make steps in a Gurgel way, it won't work. It's like a Gurgel way. There's some Ramona English in every episode these days, and I fucking love it.
Kadoos. So then, meanwhile, Bethany is starting to be a little sanctimonious about this trip. And she's like, we're doing a whole botanical garden thing, and we're going to do this, and we're going to the distillery, and it's like my business. And like, it's a trip that celebrates my business. And I'm like, I just don't want Ramona there. I don't want him there. It's celebrating my business. I'm like, ugh, relax.
Yes, you know my what? Brand. And then they cut to that clip of Ramona going, I don't want skinny girl. Ew.
Yeah. And then Carol's like, that's not nice. Whoa, that's crazy. All this talk about Mexico reminds me of when I was a little girl. And I said, I want to go to Chili's restaurant. And Geraldine Parsonman says, no, you can't go there. It's only for babies. And I want my baby back ribs. And I was like, I am a baby back rib. And she said, no, you're not. You're a little girl. Now shut up. And so we went to Outback instead. And I've never been to Chili's ever since. Whoa, it's crazy.
Well, I've never been to a Chili, but I do love, I'll be back ribs. Can't help it.
Excuse me, Ramona. I have to go off and get lunch at this fancy new place called Chipotle. Have you been?
It's called Chipolt.
Chipolt.
They say I'm the dumb one. By the way, I did that New York Housewives quiz because I saw you did it, and I'm Ramona. And I know I'm supposed to want to be suicidal over that, but it's true. I accept it.
Yeah, and I'm Sonia. I was really hoping to be Luann, but I'm Sonia.
I'm basically Ramona with a Kindle.
Yeah, we know that Ramona still reads like old-fashioned books.
Yeah, she don't read. But the Kindle, you can press a word that tells you how to say it and what it is.
So then, over at Romeo and Juliet hair removal, it's time for our annual Sonia Does Something to Her Vagina scene. So she wants to get her hair, she basically wants to get her vag shaved or waxed or lasered. And she's like, you know, everyone's hairless now. I mean, I don't want to be the only Don King down there. I was like,
so gross.
What a potent image you have just provided.
Yeah. She's like, it's a tangle of weeds down there. And so she's reading the menu. And she's like, well, I'm not sure what to choose. Vagina is the inside and genitals are outside, right? Like, are people really getting the insides of their vaginal canal waxed? Because I would believe it.
Yeah, I don't.
In this day and age.
I don't know. All I know is Ramona saying, I like the runway. If I could put lights on it, I would.
Like, Sonia, that's a hairball. It's not like grown hair, you know?
The last thing I need is Frenchie, you know, pretending like he's an airplane coming in to land on her strip.
You don't need a waxer. You need a pipe cleaner. Okay.
And I love how, so she gets on the table where she's going to get lasered, and she's got, like, her vag out, and she still has her bifocals on. Like, she's going to do some light reading, like, during the process.
Oh, hi, Chris. Like, she just met her doctor at a a cocktail party or something. Yeah. She's like, hi, Chris. Well, you're inspiring confidence in me here. Yeah. I'm like, I know you're trying to be sexual, but he does kind of have a smooth vagina face.
He does. And she's like,
he gets the same treatments on his face.
I have nice soft hair, and it's a dark blonde. I just was imagining all that with Don King and landing, like, lights and everything, and it just seemed like a big furry mess.
Yeah. She's trying to get compliments from the laser lady or the waxer lady. She's like, do you like it? It's more of a Manhattan Auburny blonde. Pretty, right? Like Chris's head. Look at his hair. So pretty. Oh, someone's going to be happy. Wink, wink. I'm like, Sonia, you're getting your vag waxed, okay? Stop flirting. Sonia probably flirted with the doctor when her daughter's head was poking out. Like, you like what you see? Wink, wink. No, she doesn't.
Like, she's like, I'm sorry. I would have done it myself, but, you know, I lost Epilady number 3.
She and Pickles ran off together. Do you know how hard it is eating tuna salad without pickles?
So after this excitement, we then go to the steakhouse where Dorinda has decided that she wants to have a dinner before the trip to sort of, I don't know, smooth things over, maybe smooth things over with Bethany and Ramona. I don't know. She just wants to have a dinner because the producer said have a dinner. So
at Royal 35. Royal so Luann will show up, and 35 so everybody else will show up.
Yes. So I like that when Sonia walks and she's like, I don't want aged meat. I'm like, it's not like they just put the meat out in the sun for 10 days and expect you to eat it. Aged meat is a good thing.
I don't eat things I don't want to be.
Yeah, if you don't want aged meat, you should really get rid of that guy with a napkin.
Well, she is avoiding him. She doesn't want aged meat. She's like, I'll have dinner around aged meat, but I'm going to fuck the French roll. Okay?
So then Tinsley walks in, and she's literally wearing my late Grandma Sylvia's signature outfit. My Grandma Sylvia loved a light, silky blouse top thing with a pilgrim bow. Like, every single time, it was like, anytime we picked her up from her home, it was like, oh, there's Grandma Sylvia in her silky top and a pilgrim bow. And
her
then in
baby
comes
doll dress and her tights. And she's like, these aren't stockings. They're tights. I love tights. I will never give up my tights. I will always wear little girl baby dresses and Mary Janes. This is getting creepy now.
It's like Tinsley.
Baby Janes, okay? You're wearing baby Janes.
you're wearing, I thought she said Mary Janes.
She did, but I'm saying you're verging on baby James.
Sorry, I needed you to Bethany that one out for me. yeah, she's wearing her Grandma Sylvia top and Mary James bottoms. So Carol has declared that she's going to set up Tinsley with a guy that she knows, like named Scott, which is exciting because he owns a website that has all the promo codes on it, so maybe like Retail Me Not or something like that.
He started promo codes,
and she's like, wow,
he started promo codes.
No, he didn't. Promo codes.
He did not invent promo codes. Okay.
Yeah. He invented promo codes.
We would owe him a great deal of thanks, you know, for our, you know, Hello Fresh 30 or like our promo codes. We do not respect this guy. He did not invent promo codes. Okay.
We would owe him a great deal of respect, but not quite as much respect as normal because we'd use a promo code.
Yeah. Carol's like,
have you ever been to a sale? He invented sales. People used to just sell things for retail.
No, he didn't.
He didn't invent promo codes. He just has a website that I forget the word for when you assemble all sorts of information. You know what the word is.
What I wrote down, my quote of this, which my quotes are never correct anyway, but my quote is,
he started promo codes.
And I wrote LOL, I'm sure.
But were you really laughing out loud?
I literally was. This show does make me laugh out loud. I was watching this in Texas, mm-hmm. and my mom was like mad at us, and so she went to bed early, and she came out, she's like, what are you laughing at? I was like, if you can hear my laughing over your creepy Lifetime horror movies that you watch to go to sleep at night, this is a really funny episode.
My dream would be to watch an episode of Real Housewives of New York City with a crowd of 200 people. I don't think there's one thing. This is going to be a little bit of a tangent, but I feel like I'm making a cogent point, which is that we watch movies as a group. You know, in general, I mean, you watch at a movie theater or you might go to a special screening, and when something's really funny, you know, the whole audience laughs, and that's kind of part of the fun, right? You go to see theater things and you watch it at a theater with a group of people. But when you watch TV shows, you're watching it usually by yourself. Maybe you might watch with some friends, so maybe you might have like 7 or 8 people there. But you very, very, very rarely get to see a TV episode with like 200 people. And
Ben, you know that we're doing a live show with 300 people at the exact same time New York City is airing next week. But are you dropping a hint? Because
no, because
we could do a screening of this and then record after.
You
Why?
Can't do that. There's legal issues. You can't just like screen a show. You can't sell tickets to a show and just. Yeah, I know it sucks.
Well, but we're not saying it's for that. We can't watch a TV show in a theater. Is that true?
No, I know it's, but.
Darn! I thought you were leading up to a surprise. I was so excited.
No, I was leading up to a point. I was trying to lead up to a point, sir.
No, but you got me excited. It was your fault. Okay, I'm quiet now.
No, but so you know, I remember on The Apprentice of all shows, on the finale shows of the Apprentice, they would do this whole thing at like Carnegie Hall or something like that. They'd be in some big space, and they would play the they would play the show like you're watching an episode of The Apprentice. But anytime something funny happened where you would normally chuckle at home, you got to hear the studio audience laugh. And it was kind of amazing. It was like the laugh track that these reality shows always deserve. And Real Housewives of New York, if ever a show deserves a laugh track of 200 people laughing, it's this show. You know, and furthermore, I know I'm really on this tangent. I once got to see a screening of 24, an episode of 24 with like 200 people. It was like something with like the cast and crew. And people laughed at shit that I normally laugh at. And they applauded at shit. And it was so fun. And God, there needs to be a screening of Real Housewives of New York. One of these episodes or Berkshire.
I went to
something.
A Battlestar Galactica one at the Arclight. And it was fucking amazing.
It's amazing. It's
also, like, on Watch What Happens Live, they actually do add laugh tracks to the Housewives shows. They make them like sitcoms and just add laugh tracks. And it's so funny.
But I think Bravo is missing a golden opportunity. If there was ever something where we got to screen an episode and got to go to a theater with like 200 or 500 people, could you imagine watching this? Could you imagine just this stupid scene of talking about the promo code guy and Tinsley getting excited, like the laughter every single second. So that's my soapbox moment.
It was good. Sorry I interrupted it.
No, it was fine. It was long as it was. Thank you.
I'm all excited, so I'm going to start texting all the lawyers I know. Just kidding. I know nobody.
Yeah.
So Dorinda, and they start making fun of her pantyhose. She's like, tights! and she's like, now that I'm back in New York again, I wear tights and Mary Jane's because I'm back in New York, you know, and it's been a very stressful thing coming back to New York because I was in Florida and that was terrible. If I mention how terrible that... They're like, you already did this monologue like last week and then every week before it. So shut up.
She does it with everything. Even like a few minutes later, it's slightly out of order, but they were talking about another steakhouse called the Strip or something like that, or Strip Steak, and it's a place where you can get steak and there's strippers, and she's like, yeah, it's where there's like naked women in the wallpapers, and Tinsley's like, oh, I've been to that one in Palm Beach, I don't like it. I'm like, God, everything relates to like the misery of Palm Beach for you. Everything, even the stupid strip club.
Carol's like, it's nice! And then... Was it Bethany? Someone's like, well, have you seen the one where they have, like, seafood and steak? Yeah. I mean, that's delicious.
It's different there. Like, literally, whoever thought about that? Dorinda is like, hey, Tinsley, I'll give you a free bikini if you just cut off 3 inches of your hair. And she's like, now.
Older, you know what? Long hair makes you younger when you're younger, but it makes you older when you're older. You say, who's this young piece that has, hey, honey? And they turn around and people are like, what? Jeez.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't, Tinsley, first of all, Tinsley's still very, very pretty. And I mean, I think that she should go for a different look, but I don't think her look right now is bad by any means.
Dorinda picks up her steak knife and points it at her, and she's like, I'll add in 3 bottles of Bezine Boussoulet.
I didn't even understand what you said, but it made total sense.
Because that's how I transcribed it from what Dorinda was saying.
I'll give you 3 bottles of Bezine Boussoulet.
She's like, I don't know what that is.
Nevertheless, Dorinda remains the sole person who's had, like, childhood trauma from Roger Rabbit, from the scene where there was a fake Jessica Rabbit. I'll never get over that moment in my life!
So Ramona comes in while Carol is talking about,
I'm gonna fix you up with a guy from Chicago. I know he's your type because I did an internet search on Topper.
It's like, oh God, if he doesn't have a stupid fucking name, she's not gonna be interested. It's like pudgy fat guy, you know, balding with tons of money is basically her type, and which, like, you know, Carol came through.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, they're like, ooh, Scott, he's a bear. I'm like,
no.
Yeah. Like, no. I don't see the leather harness, but okay. And then Ramona's like, he has great voice. Love his voice.
His oi. Oink, oink, oink. I get better with oink.
So then Bethany walks in, and she's like, hi. Yeah, Brynn got a haircut. She said she want to look like me, huh? I'm like, don't you mean Luann?
Oh, so your daughter wants to look like you now while you're dressed like a dominatrix in a porno film? I'm just saying, okay?
And I love Ramona's awkward face that she gets, you know, when she's trying to be polite. And she just has that weird glazed over look with a subtle smile. You just know it's going to explode any second.
She didn't greet me, but that's fine. I'm not ruffled anymore if she wants to be 13, okay?
Foin. Congrats, you're the same age as Sonya's newest vagina. Foin.
You know, Bethany has really messed this up because she had every right to get mad at Ramona back in the Hamptons when they had that fight at that restaurant that started this all. She had every right. Ramona was starting shit up. But Bethany is so severe that somehow Ramona has become the victim in all this.
No.
Isn't that so weird?
I know. Bethany literally does it with everybody on the show. Like, you feel bad for the other people. Like, Bethany showed up at last year's reunion, like, I'll be triumphant. Like, I'm totally the victim. Not even realizing that she's the villain of the season. And she was shell-shocked by the end. Do you remember when they all got up to hug and she just sat there?
She sat there on her
phone. How did this just happen? Literally?
Because she's all angles. Like, she's all just, like, hard edges and angles, and she's cold. And, I mean, she's sort of doing what a normal person would do, which is just, you know what, I don't like you. I don't believe you have good intentions. I'm not going to hang out with you anymore. Ice her out. But she's so cold in person, too. And, you know, Bethany's whole thing is, I don't want to be fake. I don't want to waste my time being fake. It's like, you don't have to be fake, but you can be polite.
Well, you're sitting there with a skinny girl behind your head at, like, the doctor's office, okay? Do you expect anybody skinny to believe scalpels. That that's a real setup?
Yeah.
So Luann arrives, and she's like, oh, hello. And Dorinda's like, look, we got a lot of pantyhose in the house. Kinsey's like, they're tights! And Luann's like, well, what do I bring to Mexico? I don't know what to pack. And then and Bethany's like, you can wear damn pom-poms. Who cares? It's Mexico. Thanks a lot. Says Mexico. Yeah. They're like, muchas gracias, gringa and, puta.
And Luann's like, I mean, the only reason why I'm here at dinner is because I just want to know if Bethany's going to finally invite Ramona. I mean, will she ever do it? I mean, I know my life is very busy right now, being married and all. Would you believe it? I'm married. But still, I want to know this.
I have 10 minutes until I get to go home and run a bath for Tom, my husband. So, are we going to invite Ramona? And then she's like, oh my God, Jesus Christ. All right, look. We're going to Mexico. I'm going to pick straws for rooms because I'm not even going to deal with this. I'm seriously not going to deal, which means that she is inviting Ramona because she's talking to Ramona. And so Bethany's like, wait a minute. Aren't you coming later, Luann? You're going to come later with Ramona, right? And she's like, no, I switched up everything to come. I'll be coming for the whole trip. She's like, wow, thanks. That's awkward because now we're talking about this trip in front of Ramona. And she goes, well, she assumes she's coming. She's losing weight for it. She told me at the coffee shop.
She's like, yeah. What a wonderful coffee shop that was, also, by the way. No lines.
What wonderful lunch they had. Does someone mind making me a club sandwich without the bread? Thank you.
Great. Yeah, so like Luann, they're talking about it, and then Luann's like, well, you know, she's sitting right next to me. You could just ask her, you know? So,
and then she does the worst thing that she can ever do. She's like, oh God, it's such a big deal. She's right there. Just get over it. However you need to get over it, which is not something you ever say really to anybody. Get over it.
Right. Yeah. Although Bethany should sort of get over it. Yeah. So basically Bethany does not want to invite Ramona, especially for her one like perfect day of, you know, skinny girl-ness. She's like, hey, I'm just getting used to the fact that I'm sitting with her at the same table. Huh? I'm like, what, you want an award for being able to sit with Ramona? She's your cast member, okay? Like, it's not so... This is not an Aviva Drescher moment where you deserve a banner, okay? Like, I don't feel any sympathy for the fact that you're sitting at the same table with her. I think the thing that it sort of annoys me with Bethany in this situation is that she does, in certain ways, I feel like she acts like over it, like whatever. I don't want, I can't deal with her anymore. And yet, anytime they have anytime they come face to face, Bethany brings up a lot of, I wouldn't say grudges because they're not grudges, but considering that Bethany pretends like she's not affected by things, and maybe I'm misreading it, she then like definitely airs it. Well, you said this about me, you said this, you said I'm failing, you said this and that. So it's like she does take things very, very personally, which means I think that she actually does care.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, about herself, she's a narcissist. But who knows? Like, literally, who cares? Like, was that a literal LOL? Like, seriously? Literally? Yeah. Seriously? Literally? Literally? Seriously? So then we get a little break of this while it moves over to Tinsley and Sonya. Yes. And Luann's like, something looks different about you. She's like, it's my vagina. No, I think it's your face. I can't see your vagina, Sonya.
Yeah.
Did you dye your eyebrows? And she's like, yeah, like Groucho Marx.
Yeah.
And she goes, now Tinsley wants hers done because I had to do it. So Tinsley does it. You know, she's always like, Tins me.
Yeah. Well, the
and
funny
Sinsley's
thing is,
like, I already had dark eyebrows.
Well, that was what's funny is that Sonya, first of all, I'm glad Sonya said Groucho Marx, because if she didn't say it, I was going to say it. I was like, what is going on with Sonya's eyebrows? But second of all, yeah, Sonya said, yeah, Tinsley's going to copy me now. And Tinsley's like, my eyebrows are already this color. And that's when Sonya goes, oh, everything she says is Tins me. I'm like,
oh, okay. That's what it was.
I was like, Sonya, she was responding to what you just said. She wasn't just being like, she wasn't being self-centered.
Sonya's like, oh, geez, I suppose you're going to take credit for my curling iron style now.
Did you see Tinsley? She's wearing a sweater tonight. She's like, well, I have a lot of sweaters. Oh, I have a lot of sweaters. I'm like, no, she's just saying sweaters.
Look at this napkin in my lap. Guess who else has one? Tinsley, of course. Anybody surprised?
Oh, look, Tinsley sitting at a table also. Congratulations, Tinsley. Everything's all about her sitting at a table. So then Tinsley starts getting really whiny, and she's like, well, I was going to tell you about the hotel, because that's the thing. It's like, oh, did you know that Tinsley's moving to a hotel? She's like, no, I didn't know. So Tinsley's like, well, I was going to tell you about the hotel, but I was afraid you'd get mad at me. I thought you're going to get mad at me, so I didn't tell you. Does someone have a tissue?
Yeah. She's like, oh, well, whatever. I want my closet back. So you copy my eyebrows, you steal my eyebrows, you're gone. Is that my daughter's dress? No, it's mine. She took it out of the Hamptons closet. Rich would love that dress.
Because you're a fool. You dumb fool.
You fool. So Bethany then is like, all right, I'll talk to Ramona. All right, could everybody move over? Because I'm not going to talk to Ramona, but we only have a camera set up here, and I don't want like a bar thing. So move over. So she moves. And Ramona's like, hello? Bethany, like, she does that eye thing where her eyes are just like, she's just ready for the biggest hug.
Yes.
And like maybe possible fake crying session ever. And Bethany's like, well, obviously I'm uncomfortable because I invited everybody but you, and I'm not going to exclude you because it's your group, and like, you've known them longer than me, most of these people, but like, it's Mexico, and I'm comfortable with the way you treated me, and like, it's Jalisco, you know, it's like where Skinny Girl was made, it's like where the sausage is made, and you don't even eat sausage, and I don't want you like disrespecting sausage when they're middle of Jalisco, you know, it's where Top Chef is.
Don't look at me, Tinsley.
Tinsley, can you not listen, please? You're staring at me. Like, you're literally staring at me. Like, grow up.
I'm like, who's rude here? The woman basically trying to disinvite Ramona to a group trip, or the woman who just happens to look over because she's sitting a foot away?
Yeah, she's like, why is she yelling? We're at the same table. I'm in
also
my tights. It was
also
really hard for me to wear these tights after Palm Beach. You know, I got yelled at across the table at Palm Beach, and then I totally didn't even put a brick through that restaurant's window, and I had to get a mugshot anyway. The charges are totally dropped now. I just don't want to move my furniture here yet because I don't know if I can take it.
It's too much. I'm going to get my hair blown out of Mexico. And then I like how they cut to Tinsley, like, after she was, like, yelled at by Bethany. And they cut to her sort of standing there reprimanded, then quietly started to crane her neck again, around again. Did you notice that?
Yes.
She was like,
Because she's sitting there at the same thing, at the same table.
Yes.
Fucking Bethany. And then Bethany's such a hypocrite with what happened later, but we'll get to that.
Yes.
So she's like, so she's like, also I'm saying it's disingenuous. Like, I didn't mean then, like, you go, like, you know, you said something like, oh, you decant cheap wine. Like, it's nasty. Like, making me feel like a failure about my brand. She's like, I didn't say you're a failure, Bethany, okay? You said my brand is failing. Well, yeah, but brands go up and down and down and up. That's what brands do. Even up and up goes down sometimes. And it's called up and up. Like, that's its brand. Like, are you mad at Target now? Like, what are you trying to say, Bethany? Have some respect, okay?
I mean, look, you know, just brands go up and they go down. And for instance, Skinny Girl has gone down and down and down and down. And I'm sure it'll go up at some point. But for right now, it just keeps going down. That's all. I'm just saying it's going down to the bottom of the barrel. It's, you know, it's like a discount wine. I'm sorry. That's what it is. Okay?
It's like my father used to say. There's only one way to go. And that's get out of my house, you stupid little rat-faced brat. You know? And then I cried. Like, wait a minute.
Whoa, it's crazy. So then Ramona's like, you know what? Don't attack my business because I support my family and I give half my money to my husband who I was married to for 30 years, okay? You were only married for 2, okay? Talk to me when you've been married for 30 years. It's like my heart was cut out. My legs and my arms and my eyeballs and my ear and my tonsils and my appendix and my kneecap all cut out, okay?
The only reason that I'm even able to go to Mexico is because they didn't cut off my weight. Like, I'm having to do Pilates without having my legs, okay, Bethany? You're not Miss Perfect, okay? You know how I feel.
Like, this is literally hurting my neck, because when Ramona gets ragey like this and her eyes are crossing and bulging out of her head and her whole head is moving like that, and she's like, what'd I say to you? Like, seriously, what'd I say? Like, oh, I didn't sell wine. She goes, well, yeah, what I said was you sold 500 grand units last year. So don't tell me about units. Hey, Bethany, I don't have legs. I'm like, Aviva already did this.
I lost my legs on a slow-moving machine on a farm in upstate New York, okay?
Aviva's at home like a cheater brand.
Throwing her leg at the TV. Whoa, this is crazy. It reminds me of this one time when I was a little girl, and I said, let's ride on the machine in the barn. And Geraldine Parsons Smith said, yeah, why don't you ride on it? It'll be perfectly safe. And I sat on it, and next thing you know, I lost my leg. And Geraldine Parsons Smith just laughed at me. And to this day, I've never been able to ride on slow machinery ever since. Okay? I'm like, that was Aviva's memory.
Oh, so she's like, this is the best part, because yes. Bethany's doing the classic, like, I don't like you, so you don't get to come on the yearly cast trip.
Yes.
And Ramona's like, oh, hell no. She's like, it's a group trip, so I'm coming, okay? I'm coming. I won't come to the tequila party, fine, okay? But I'm coming to the group trip, and you can dish it, but you can't take it. Bethany's like, look, seriously? I took it. And she goes, well, look, I was at home, and, like, I'm sad that things are not going good between us, because at home I only have three pictures. One is of you and me and Carol. One is of Hillary Clinton, that email traitor.
And the other was some family I don't even know. I just liked them and never took them out of the frame. But before that, though, when she was, you know, when Ramona was ranting about how she, like, you know, Mario, like, what her marriage fell apart, like, lot, you know, took out her heart and her legs and everything. Then Ramona really lays into Bethany and goes, so don't even tell me and try to compare your life to mine. Don't, Bethany. Have more respect for me, Bethany. Have more respect and more sympathy. It's not always about you, Bethany. And it's like this pregnant pause, because believe it or not, as hilarious as Ramona was being, I personally took it as kind of an emotional moment, because she was tapping into, like, the grief of her marriage falling apart, which sort of was fueling all this. And there's this pregnant pause, and Bethany goes, I take it back. And for a moment, I thought she was saying, I take it back. I get it. I see what's going on with you. And she goes, I take it back. I don't want you coming on the trip. I was like, so yeah, so then there's that piano moment, and she's starting to do it, and Bethany's like, no, the waterworks aren't going to work. And Ramona goes, you miss Waterworks City? Which I just love the idea of a city called Waterworks, and Bethany's like the mayor.
Miss Waterworks City? I'm going to go on a slip and slide? Seriously? But you, like, what, you're not going to film a swimming pool? Like, your water's different than me, Michigan?
But you know what, though? This is where I really was starting to lose Bethany in this argument, because to me, this actually reminded me of the Berkshires fight, you know, where they're going to, like, squash it, and Bethany comes in very aggressive and basically makes Ramona defensive. And it's, you know, Ramona plays a part in it. She should chill out and not be so defensive. But Bethany, you can't apologize with your daggers out, you know? Like, if you're going to apologize, apologize, and don't say, hey, what's going on with your face? Like, what's the face? I can't talk to you without that face. You can't say stuff like that. And so, to me, it's happening again here. It puts Ramona on the defensive. And here, when Ramona's saying this stuff about, like, you know, about Mario and stuff, it's obvious that she is still tortured by the fact that this man that she loved cheated on her. Like, say whatever you want about Ramona, that is a really tough thing to go through. And oftentimes, I think the ripple, like the emotional effects of that sort of traumatic thing can take a while to surface. And I would think that if anyone would understand that, it would be Bethany. And the fact that Bethany
Ramona. It's like, it's also that housewives thing where whenever you're in the wrong, you bring up the latest pain. Like, it's like Bethany. Like, how could you? Like, I'm my daughter. Or it's like Karen when she's getting cornered and she's like,
Well, it was my mom. She has early onset dementia. They all do that. And she's like, how could you do this when it's about my husband? It's like, it's also because you totally diss the bitch. Like, stop pretending you did.
But I guess
they're so bad at making out there.
I agree with you. I agree with you to an extent. Like, people are very quick to access the sob story. But that being said, Ramona has a point. Bethany is the queen of the world. Like, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through so much, like, right now. Like, I'm a disaster. Like, I'm crying. Like, I can't. Like, I'll be on the floor. I'll be crying. Bethany has done the thing that Ramona's doing now, Bethany has done a million times. And we all empathize. And we, like, we get it. You are going through some shit right now. So we get why you are bawling for no reason in the middle of this Home Goods, you know? So it just seemed... I kind of felt like Ramona had a point when she said, you know, Bethany can dish it, but she really can't take it.
And no, I like Bethany. That's true.
And believe it or not, I still like Bethany quite a bit, and I think she's very smart, but I think she's just a little too cold and nasty to Ramona.
Well, I actually like everybody on the show, because you get used to them. Like, you get used to them.
I want to hang out with each and every one of them.
Like, you may hate Bethany for one episode, but then you like her. I mean, everybody has ups and downs. That's the whole point of being human, you know? But these two are so nuts together, and Bethany is always – they're both always accusing the other of something, you know? Like, Bethany's always accusing everybody's brands of sucking and how much they don't sell and this and that. She does do it. It's not the first time. And then Ramona does the same thing to Bethany, and then they accuse each other of it. Or when Bethany in this scene goes – oh, my God. With Ramona, like, seriously, like, one minute she's yelling at you. Then the next minute it's a sob story and she's crying and saying, I'm sorry. Then she cozies up to you. And then she's like, you say it's OK. And then she's mean to you again. Like, it's a circle. It's like an abusive circle. Like, what are you like? You're literally she literally does it right now. And she's when Ramona leaves, she goes, I'm sorry, Tinsley. Like, I didn't mean to snap at you. I was just like, seriously. Or when she snapped at Tinsley last time, she's like, last night I was crazy. Like, I don't even know what I was doing last time. Like, she's done it every time. She, like, throws out these huge, awful things. And then she's like, seriously, I was sorry. Like, I didn't know what was happening. So why is it okay for you to do it?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I understand why Bethany is frustrated with Ramona, why she got annoyed at and angry at Ramona in the first place, because Ramona was trying to stir some shit up. But at the same time, though, on top of everything else, Ramona does have to take everyone's advice. Everyone's told Ramona, just don't talk to her. Let her come around. She will come around. But Ramona keeps going in to try to smooth it over.
It's true, but it's also looking at it from where Ramona's coming from. She doesn't give a fuck about Bethany. This is about her. If she's excluded from the finale trip, you know, they've fired many a huge housewife, especially on this show. They have no problem cutting people, and Bethany has had no problem getting people cut. And she can see that Bethany's trying to do that exact same thing to her. And it's like, oh, bitch, you are not about to do to me what you did to Zarin, to Heather, to everybody else who's tried to go up against you. This will not happen with me, bitch.
Yeah, and you know what? That's why we love Ramona, because it will not happen, and she is not going to allow it. But what I did like, though, was then, you know, when Bethany was like, you said a lot of nasty things about me, da-da-da-da-da-da, and you know, Ramona's like, well, I'm sorry. I don't remember what I said, but I retract those statements. I'm like, this is not an official police report. I don't lie, okay? I don't lie.
Okay.
She goes, I get it. I care for you, Bethany, but you don't want to be cared for. I'm a mothering type, and you're just a cold, cold human being. You're basically like a piece of metal, okay? And I get it. You're metal, and I'm a warm mother, and you just don't want to be mothered on account of you being a piece of metal. I get it, Bethany. I do. And she's like, we're just oil and vinegar. And Bethany's like, oil and vinegar go together. It's right on the table. And I was like, no. It separates. Makes it together. It separates. And I'm like, actually, Ramona's right. It does separate.
But you know what? It does separate, but it also goes very well together in a salad, which is why you're both in an ensemble cast and not on a spinoff.
And that's why you guys are both oil and vinegar. And Bethany's like, well, there's nothing else to say. I'm like,
you don't know about oil and vinegar? So, like, I'm literally done with you.
Oil and vinegar is what blew her mind.
This girl doesn't know how to eat a salad. I'm done.
Like, literally, like, a vinaigrette, like, I don't understand this. Like, do we need, like, an emulsify? Like, do we need to add, like, some, like, mayonnaise to it to emulsify it, like, some mustard? Like, honestly, I can't.
Well, who was the one who said, I guess we'll get to it later, but who was the one who's, oh, Carol. Carol gets into this bad analogy thing soon. So, next scene is Ramona. I guess it's the next day, and she's working.
No,
is it not over?
No, not quite yet, because then Ramona starts muttering to Sonia. And she's like, well, I forget what it is, but she's like, well, I'll just go on the trip and I just won't go on the tequila tasting. It's fine. And then Bethany's like, ah, I'm sitting right here. I'm like, yeah, you know what, Bethany, don't do that thing. Because at the top of the scene, you were talking about Ramona to Luann, and Ramona's sitting on the other side of Luann. So don't do the I'm sitting right here thing, because you were doing it too.
Don't be a hypocrite. So Sonia's like, look, I'm not going to stand up for Ramona. I love Ramona, but it's really not fun to watch Bethany explode on her. It's bad. It's like Game of Thrones bad. Like, winter is coming, okay? It has the face of a skinny, girl.
Well, that's
skinny
why we're
girl.
Going to Mexico, because it's wintertime, okay? We don't want any of those winter walkers. We want to be Mexico sunbathers, okay?
It is kind of like Game of Thrones. Like, when that last season, when all the promos were just those faces on a shelf.
Or when so they just show, like, a picture of a crow. It's like, hey,
yeah,
there I am. So then Bethany is like, says that Ramona's been nasty, and Ramona's like, I have not been nasty in your presence. I'm like, oh, okay.
I was not nasty, Bethany. And she's like, all right, you know what? Let's just make a not being nasty fact. How about that? Like, LOL.
We okay? just won't say anything. And it's like, fine. We can toast to that. It's one thing we can toast to, not being nasty. Am I allowed to quote nasty girl, though? Am I? No? Okay. All right. You can have Janet Jackson. Second Janet Jackson reference of the podcast. Two separate Janet Jackson references, everyone.
Just like the radio. She comes on once, she comes on 10 times. And you're like, Ross, is this a CD?
That's the way Roni goes.
And Bethany's like, oh, God, I just agreed to a big steamy bag of bullshit. I did not have sex with that woman. And Ramona goes, okay, I'm leaving. You can talk about me now. Like, Ramona's like, okay, I'm coming to Mexico. Bye! Bye!
Oh, man. You got to respect that. I mean, she is like, I'm going. The producer said there's a group. I like the code. Like, this is a group trip, a.k.a. this is the cast trip for the show. I'm going. I'm there.
Fuck yeah. Good for her. She doesn't get – Bethany does not get to cast this whole fucking show. You know, and if it was up to Bethany, every episode would be her at some, like, crazy restaurant out of the way that no one understands because they're not culturally advanced. No one wants to see that. That's why your spinoffs all die. Okay? Enjoy being on the show. Just sell your fucking tequila and shut up, lady. So Dorinda's like, what happened? Is she coming or not? And Bethany's like, no way. Like, seriously. No, I said no. And she's like, she will. She goes, no, I said no, and she left. And she goes, yeah, but she said she's coming anyway. That's good. Dorinda's
you
still waving
sandwich,
her steak knife
sandwich.
Around. Yeah. She's, like, still waving her knife around. All right, are we going to do Tinsley's hair? Am I going to do this alone, or do I need to call over a busboy or what, girl?
I got the knife right here. Hostess with the mostess.
You're bankrupt. It was fun. When did I hear that? It's like, it was you drunko crazy. So now, the next day, Ramona is working out with the English chick, and she's like, darling, put these bands around your ankles. And she's like, oh, my God, this is crazy. Like, I can't even walk in these.
Yeah. She's like, I know it's good. I know it's good news. I've been invited to this holiday trip to Mexico. I'm like, you were never invited by anyone. Just because you got a ticket on Orbitz does not mean you were officially invited by the Orbitz Corporation.
I think it's a camping trip. I'm going to be camping outside the hotel that Bethany and the girls are staying at. It's going to be amazing, okay?
I have to be careful, though, because according to some people who I really respect, Mexicans are just rapists, so I'm on guard.
I mean, the good thing about Mexico is that Bethany could be beheaded at any moment, okay? So she's like, she's talking about working out, and she's like, I will give up dessert, but I will not give up the 1 or 2 or 3 or XYZ or 1, 2, 3s or 10, 9, 11s. A white TS's of one ahead after dinner, okay?
I'm really excited to go down there. I've heard that they have a lot of Cartier stores. I'm like, no, it's cartels. Oh.
I don't want to go to farms. I don't like cartel. It's like, that's cattle.
Why does everyone care about tequila anyway?
A cartel? Why would you put your car in a hotel? Just park it on the street, okay?
Do they have so many cars that they have to stay in a hotel? I don't get it. I'm just going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk right up to that cartel and say, what's going on here? I don't understand. Tell me everything I want to know. I want to bring this to America. What kind don't of, do that, Ramona.
What kind of room service does cartels order? What kind of room service do cars order? Okay. Cartel. Sorry.
Is it a place where cars gossip? You know, they tell everything? A cartel?
So she's like, she starts telling the trainer, oh, I've been dating. It's like a minefield. You don't know if they're milks or duds. This one guy I met, and he's talking about his preferences, and he said, he said you could be with someone else, and I'll watch. I mean, that's why I need my wine, okay? You have one milk dud, and you'll explode. It's like a minefield.
Good old Ramona. Meanwhile, at another part of town, later that evening, Carol and Adam go to a bar with this guy named Scott, a.k.a. the bear
I'll
with
have
the promo
a
cards.
Adam, he's got such a weird little voice. You only hear it like once every time he's on, but he's like, I'm a Mescal.
So Tinsley comes along. It's the big double date. And, you know, Tinsley and Scott, you know, Scott's cute. I think Scott's cute. And they instantly bond because they like Tito's, which is from your neck of the woods,
Scott
Bonnie.
Is wearing a bald wig. Okay, if you're balding and you're going to wear a wig, why not give yourself, like, hair? Like, why would you wear one little circle at the top of your head? It's like a bald wig.
Yarmulke.
He's like, I'm not complete. Yeah, exactly. It's a hairy yarmulke, but on the front of the head. It's not on the back. It's on
I'm
going
to have to... You know what's so funny? I'm remembering a dream I had last night where I had a really strange hairline. Like, I had hair at the very front, and then there was, like, nothing, and then the hair came back, which may be a sign of my future. I'm glad everyone knows that now.
I stopped having those dreams. That's the good thing about being bald. You just give it up. Like, what are you going to do? Like, tape something to the top of your head like this guy?
Well, it's like that classic Seinfeld episode where Elaine is dating a guy who shaves his head, and then she tells him to grow it in, and he grows it in, and he realizes that he's balding, and so he gets all self-conscious about the fact that he's balding, even though he's always already had a shaved head.
Well, yeah, that's it. This guy, I like that this guy will meet his balding halfway. He's like, well, look, I'm bald, so now I'll just be balding.
Thank you
for I'll get a balding hairline.
Thank you for that little Kenny Loggins reference there. Meet me halfway across the sky.
Did he sing that with Amy Grant?
I wanted to say he sang it with Cher, but I think it's just his own song. I just feel like as long as we're going through like our favorite adult contemporary songs of the 80s, you might as well throw in a Kenny Loggins reference.
Next time you fall in love, you will be with the guy with tape on hair. Next time you...
So Carol's like,
you're going to love Tinsley. She can drink. She's got a wooden tutu.
They're like, what? She goes,
you know, like when someone has a wooden leg.
And they're like, Adam's like a pirate? She's like, no. And then she explains, she goes,
it's a wooden tutu. It means she can drink a lot. Like when people have a wooden leg and then the drink goes into their leg. Makes sense to me.
I actually looked it up. I looked it up because, you know, I'm like crazy like this. And there were some, a lot of people said it's that the wooden leg is empty and you pour the booze in that, which I think the pirate thing makes more sense. I also feel like maybe there's an interpretation where you can drink so much that the wooden leg props you up. Like you're not going to get like – you're not going to be stumped. It's probably the pirate. It's probably the pirate.
She has an – oh, then later she's like,
I knew you guys would get along like a house on fire.
It's like
like oil and vinegar, right?
I know you mean it's blazing like a house of fire. I know what you mean.
Oh, is that what that is? I never even heard that.
Blazing yeah, like this is not, this is really working. Especially when Tinsley was like arrested for stalking and harassing her last one. I don't think bringing in burning some dude's house is a really good way to get this relationship started, guys.
Well, I thought this was a great evolution of Carol because a few years ago, Carol went on a date and she just had this awful first date where she was saying the most ridiculous things. And now she's learned from that experience and now she can observe as Tinsley says the worst things. Because, of course, Tinsley's like, oh my God, we're Leos. Oh my God. Oh my God, my ex. Like, I dated him for like a long time. Like, for childhood sweethearts. Like, I was in love with him. Look, here's the ring. I still wear the ring. Ha ha ha. I drink to make myself feel comfortable. Ha ha ha. Like, whoa, Tinsley.
I mean, we're still very close to each other. You know, for example, our child. Like, we love it. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
So Carol has to give her a timeout, and I don't know if you noticed this or if many people noticed this, but I noticed it. When they had the timeout, they went to a back bar, and I couldn't help but see that the bartender at the back bar was Anthony, the former bartender at Sir, who got tangled up in a love rhombus on season 4 of Vanderpump Rules on the Gay Pride episode, when that girl, the hostess Lauren, who was dating Anthony, slept with James while James was hanging out with Lala or something like that. I remember there was that whole fiasco, and then Anthony and Lauren went to that back room and they fought. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Eddie Cibrian, young Eddie Cibrian.
So I was like, I think that's Anthony. So of course, I then had to figure out, okay, how do I confirm this? So I had to do some searching. I was like, Anthony, bartender, Sir, da-da-da-da-da. Finally found his Instagram, and it appears as though he's living in New York City. So I'm mostly confirmed that Anthony from Vanderpump Rules just made a cameo on Real Housewives of New York.
Hotness.
Still hot. Still hot.
Boner. Still got it. Well, wasn't season 4 like last year?
Yeah. Pretty much.
So that's basically that. She's like, do you surf? Because I hate guys that surf. Oh, my God, you don't surf? He's like, no, I'm like fat with tape on hair. I sit by the pool and, you know, do things on my computer. She's like, perfect.
Do you live in a hotel also? You live in a hotel? Oh, no. Okay.
When they come back, like Eloise. Like,
I love being like Eloise.
When she comes back to the table, she's like, where'd the fondue go? The busboys took it, those bitches. And they make her take off her she didn't say bitches, but she's like, how dare they, like she got all mad. I love drunk Tinsley.
Yeah.
And then they made her take off her wedding ring, and Carol's like, well, don't throw it away, you know, well, you saw what happened to the fondue, put it in your purse.
The fondue.
Then she macks down with this dude, and he's like, score, I won.
Yeah, he did.
So now all the ladies are packing for New York, and yes. Carol's like, baby, 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 you want to come?
I thought you were about to do some Justin Bieber right there, or maybe some TLC.
Baby, baby, there's another baby.
Baby, 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 I got so much love for you.
And Tinsley is like, Sonia, I got you a present. It's a poncho. I know it's not really your style, but I thought you'd like it. Oh, I'm so glad we got a 5 and above store here. And, you know, Tinsley's mom, Dale, did give her some good advice when she said, have you bought her any cookies or any little treats? Because that really is all Sonia needs. She's like, oh, look at this, a present. It's like some wrapping for one of those gift bag things that you just shove tissue paper in, and she's so excited.
Yeah. And meanwhile, in perhaps my favorite scene of the entire episode, we go back to Luann's penthouse, and she goes over to her chunky jewelry drawer and she opens it up, and I don't know if you heard it, but very quietly on the soundtrack she just goes, and she opens it up and she sort of slowly pulls out like five necklaces that have boulders on them, and she goes like, I love my statement necklaces, they don't leave home without me, while without wearing a necklace, I'd like to point out.
she does need a necklace though. I like that she had like an away.com carry-on bag for her statement necklaces. They have their own roller bag.
Would you believe it, girls, my roller bag is its own statement necklace. I sometimes wear it around my neck.
It would like to be called Mrs. Rollerbag.
Mrs. Tommy Tune gave it to me after one of his shows at the Blue Note.
You did get me a seat in first class, didn't you? It would have been a nice thought.
I'm just saying, I just got married and I'm going to fly a coach all the way to a different country. I mean, what is this, girls?
So then Dorinda's on the phone with Bethany. And she's packing too. And Bethany's like, I really hope it works out with Bethany. Like how we were at the restaurant and I cried and she cried and we hugged. And then she invited me to Mexico. And Dorinda's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You have a positive attitude by land. We'll sing Kumbaya and Brady Chill is here. Maybe cut Tinsley's while we're at it, huh?
And then everyone's like, what are you packing? You packing shirts and bathing suits and shoes and stuff like that? Then it was like, yeah, 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 I got them. I got the shirts. Like, oh my God, I didn't pack the bathing suits. I would have forgotten all about the bathing suits.
The only person who could still say, holy smokes, can you believe it? Could you imagine?
Listen,
I got my bathing suit. Holy smokes.
Listen, at least you remember to actually have a bag. You're improving. Don't you worry.
Yeah, if you want us to not be able to imagine, get it on the actual plane. Yeah. Let's see that. Yeah. Baby steps. Baby steps.
Baby steps. Did you call baby? He's playing on the curtains right now. Isn't it funny?
So that was a hilarious episode. And then next week, we're off to Mexico. And well, we're not. They're off to Mexico, where we get to see Luann fall off of a water fountain of some sort. So it's going to be so fun. It's like highlight of the week is this show. So, so good. But before we end the show, Ronnie and I thought we would do something. We're having so much fun sitting here talking about Real Housewives. We thought we would just do one of our favorite things to do. You know what I'm talking about, Ronnie?
Well, I sure do.
How lucky are you to have me teach you about me?
Clear the phlegm.
This is Clear the Phlegm. This is the segment we do every now and then when we like to look at the Instagram account of Caroline Fleming, one of the cast members of Ladies of London, a show that is unfortunately canceled on Bravo. But just because the show is done doesn't mean that we are done with Caroline Fleming.
We will always love this bitch, and she's always famous on Instagram.
Yes, she puts up some of the most ridiculous stuff. I mean, Caroline Fleming is one of my all-time favorite Bravo stars, and the picture that I found is actually one a few people messaged us about 2 weeks ago, and we just haven't done the segment yet. But it's a picture of Caroline standing in her apartment, and she's standing up. Her back is up against some sort of wall sort of thing, and her hands are behind her waist, and she's looking off to the side, and she's giving a little bevel with her knee, and she's looking sad and mournful, and she says, "Nothing matters more than our children. Red heart, blue heart, green heart." I'm like, what? And as one of our listeners pointed out, there are no children in the picture, by the way. But like, what is this, like, ode to the youth of the world that's like expressed with her looking sorrowfully or wistfully off to the side? Don't get it.
There's one of her on the side of her building, and it's like on the second story on a ledge, and she's doing yoga on the ledge because, you know,
it is how we do.
So this says hashtag yoga, hashtag half moon, hashtag rooftop, for all of those people searching hashtags of rooftop and half moons.
Hashtag yoga anywhere and everywhere, at yoga to me, sunny smiley face. Quote, my lady leggings, unquote. From, quote, beautiful legs by Caroline Fleming, unquote. At Bilka, at Fotex, in store now, space X, space X, SpaceX.
Why is she quoting My Lady Leggings and Beautiful Legs by Caroline Fleming? Like, we get it.
I don't know. I found a picture of, it's, I just chose one at random. It's a bowl of popcorn, and it's on like a little sort of, it's like on a blue sort of blanket, and then there's some little kind of like tree, they're not trees, they're floral arrangements, like in little milk jugs around it. And some glasses of wine on a ledge nearby and some lanterns. But it's basically a bowl of popcorn. And she says,
yeah.
Oh, what a luxury to have finally been sent my collection of Affordable Luxury by Caroline Fleming. The lanterns are lit. The rose chilled in the wine glass. My favorite hydrangea in my new little vase selection, which comes in 4 colors. Fresh popcorn in my wooden bowl and my bed throw, which will work wonders in my garden. Thrilled to have been given this opportunity. I truly hope you all enjoy the collection as much as I do. And will hot, the collection is sold now in Bilka and Fotex or online at bilka.dk. Thank you.
Hashtag flagging, digging, begging, legging.
I'm like, bitch, so, it's a bowl of popcorn.
This is one of those trays that's a cut out of a tree, you know, like a tree stump tray or something. And it's a picture of an undressed cucumber salad. It's like cucumbers, iceberg, and some cherry tomatoes and an avocado chopped up off to one side with no dressing or anything. Then it's some carrots over some, looks like prunes, like some dried out prunes. And then some cilantro. And then three little creepy balls of something that she's burnt really badly seared, on the bottoms. Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, those are like, I forgot to turn them over in the oven, but I'm not doing it again for Instagram. Yes. You know? So she writes, hashtag tapas for any time when you're hungry, quote, for fun, unquote, as we say in Denmark.
Oh, that old Danish expression for fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the world.
Hashtag wooden board, all one word. Hashtag scam rate. Hashtag affordable luxury by Caroline Fleming.
That's not a very well thought out hashtag, by the way.
Dash K, or with a slash through it, B. Cooling Tonkin Nufra. Hashtag Bilka. Hashtag Vortex. Ella. Vava you, Vava you, Vava you. That's a Bilka. That's a DK. Green heart. Green heart.
What does the green heart mean?
There's, I don't even know. There's one where she's just,
Oh, wait, I have to add this. I just noticed it. There's crystals of pink sea salt.
Oh, of course.
Accompanying the string.
There's one picture where she's standing and smiling and looking down, and she has one hand raised up sort of towards her chin, and the other is across her waist, showing off some bangles and a watch and a necklace. And there's like a giant globe, like an atlas thing with a globe behind her. And she just goes, kindness is one of life's greatest qualities. At Chatila Jewels and all their exquisite pieces have created with love and kindness. I'm like, you're just shilling jewelry. Don't, this has nothing to do with kindness.
Kindness is important as leggings, unquote. Hashtag Caroline Fleming official wonderful marvelous jewelry collection of Denmark.
Hashtag girl, no one's gonna be able to tweet that.
Hashtag wooden board.
And that brings us to the end of Clear the Phlegm.
Clear the Phlegm.
So man, wrap this bitch up, babe.
You guys, thanks so much for listening to this very loopy episode. We'll be back tomorrow for Below Deck Med. And as always, go to watchcrappins.com for not only our social media links, but tickets to the LA show where we will be recapping Scary Island. It finally gets the Watcher Crappins treatment. So y'all, go do that, and we are going to speak to you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We really appreciate the love and support you guys show us. If you have a minute, go to iTunes and leave a review. And if you don't want to do that, maybe next time you're talking to your friends about Bravo, you mention the podcast. Spreading the word really helps us grow, and it means the world to us. Also, check us out on Instagram and at Twitter. On Instagram, we're at WatchWhatCrappins. On Twitter, we're at WhatCrappins. You can also check out me and Ronnie on both platforms. Ronnie is at Ronnie Karam on both Instagram and Twitter, and I'm at BsideBlog on Instagram and Twitter. Really, thank you guys so much. We really mean it. We appreciate the support. And even if you do none of those things, we're just happy you're listening. Thanks.